Okay, I got a green light. So that means go. If you know me, I like you to have your Bibles. So if you have your Bibles, open it up to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we'll be bouncing around in there. I know I've done a sword drill with you at different times, you know, who has their swords with them. And I also think that, you know, I don't always like to refer to the Bible as a sword. It's also referred to as the balm of Gilead for healing as well. But even the surgeon's knife is used for healing. So the sword, the balm, make sure you have it out in your lap, ready to go. When Tom asked me to preach this morning, I thought, wow, the last Sunday of the year. What a cool Sunday to do it. Right in between, that in-between time. It's got the old year ending, the new year coming. And God was kind of dealing in my heart with the verse from Psalms about teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Oh, there it is right there, Psalm 90:12. Very good. So I would like to start with this very familiar passage from Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 1. This morning I'm going to be talking about time, endings, and beginnings. So I wanted to start here. To everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which was planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And then jump down to verse 11. It says, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Time, what is time? Time is a created thing. Genesis chapter 1, you'll see there's three things created there. In the beginning, time. God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. You have time, space, and matter. Three things. Did you know those three things are each broken down into three also? And there's one other three I left out, God himself. He said, let us make a trinity. There's three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, time, there's past, present, and future. The heavens, that's space. You have height, width, and depth. And the earth, you have matter, which you have solid, liquid, and gas. I heard that once. I thought, man, that's cool. I thought, that's really cool. I'm going to share that sometime. So today was the day. So yes, we're going to be talking about time. And so I wanted to go back in time a little bit. You know, we have spent many, many years here on Earth. And if you are on the internet, there's some neat things you can look up. Like, how many days old are you? I looked it up. I'm 54. September 8th is my birthday, and I was born in 1964. I am 19,836 days old. That's 476,000 hours, 28,500,000 minutes, 1,700,000,000 seconds. Now I'm rounding those off for your sake. But it's amazing. Time, what is it? We can't hold it in our hand. It's not something that's physical we can grab, but it's ticking away. You know, those old hourglasses you turn over, the sands drop through. Time is passing. And it's a created thing. And if you know your book of Revelation, there's a point God says, time will be no more. What will that be like? No time. Eternal now. That's awesome. Other interesting thing you can do with looking up how old you are, in dog years, yeah, you can find this. I am 229 years in dog years. in Galapagos turtle years. I am only 25. That makes me feel pretty good. Now, I've heard this story, and I haven't verified it anywhere, but I like it. You know our birthday cakes, we like to put a candle on it? I always wonder, why put candles on there? Well, if you look it up, you won't like the answer. But somebody said to me, it's for our trips around the sun. I like that answer. So, there's another website you can look up. How old would you be on each planet? Now, on my cake, if I lived on Mercury, there'd be 225 candles on my cake. That's a fire hazard. Venus, there'd be 88 candles. Earth, 54 candles. On Mars, there would be 25 candles. And that's because it takes 25 years to go around the sun in a Martian year. It's kind of cool. Jupiter, I would be 4.5 years old. Saturn, I would only be 1.5 years old. Uranus, I'm waiting for my first birthday. I'm a half a year. Neptune, I'm only 0.3 years. And in Pluto, 0.2. That's as far as that planet has gone around the sun during my lifetime. Not much, is it? And just so you know, my birthday would be in the year 2213 on Pluto. I would be 1 year old on Pluto. It would make a full orbit around. All right, so we're dealing with time here. Can you put the first picture up there? Now, I have to tell you a story. When I was born, my dad was so proud. He had a son, and he was so excited. Yeah, I was back in the days. He wasn't in the delivery room. So he went to the window looking for his boy and asked, which one's mine? That one. He said, that one? Said, he's ugly. How come he doesn't look like all these other ones? Well, he was just born, so so hopefully I got better. So anyway, I couldn't find a picture of my newborn, and it was pretty bad. My first baby picture is like, so here I am a little bit older. All right, next picture. All right, we're growing up. On the left here, it's me, my sister Debbie, and that's Donna to the right, my sister Donna. And then to the right here, there I am, somewhere around 10 or so, with my father and his father. Time is pictured here. You can see time. You know, the younger, the older, the sun, down and down. You know what I'm trying to get at here. Next picture. All right, this is me in my sports time. Race car driver and the mighty soccer player. Dawn loves my legs in these pictures. Oh, yeah. Next picture. All right. This is where I found Dawn, and we were married, and that's Ben. And then we have Ben and Deanna over here. And actually, this right picture, that's about the time we started coming here to Groffdale in about 93, 94. Next picture. All right. This is at one of Dawn's recitals, and that's our whole family together with Grace this time. Next picture. All right. And now David and Dawn have become Oma and Pappy with grandchildren. The generations keep coming. We keep moving along. Next picture. There we go. I just got back from vacation, as you see in my shirt, from my problems. So as we grow, we learn to enjoy life. And we want to pass that on to all the generations. I want to take a look at that passage. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That first phrase, teach us, that implies a prayer. And we are looking to someone that is greater than us. You know, we acknowledge God's authority, his lordship, Christ's sovereignty. You know, when we say, Lord, teach us. We are in need. What do we need to be? So if you're writing down notes, we need to be humble. You know, we need to be aware of our own weaknesses. We need to be aware of other people's weaknesses. James tells us to be slow to speak and quick to listen. We need to acknowledge our failures. You know, teach us, Lord. Acknowledge your failures. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And as Christ did from Philippians chapter 2, we need to consider others more highly than ourselves. Secondly, we need to actively seek wisdom. You know, look for those in the congregations or in your family, those who have spent time with the Lord, who have years of experience, and say, how do you go through this? You know, people say to me, Dave, how do you do it? You know, why do you smile at work so much all the time? You know, that's because the presence of God's in my heart. I don't smile every single time. You know, there are times I get distraught, but you know, centered in my heart, there is that joy. And you know, we need to have that joy. We need to read the Bible and spiritual books that feed our souls. Now, there's novels out there that I enjoy and things like that. But I think you can look at it. There's a difference between junk food, pretty good food, and really good food for your bodies. So I am not here to judge what you do. That is up to you. You know, you need to say, is this good for my soul? Am I feeding what I need to feed in my soul? Pray for wisdom. Always be in prayer. You know, throughout your day, it should be a continual conversation with God. You know, Lord, I'm getting ready to do this. Help me. Give me strength. Meditate on Scripture. You know, when you're reading through your Bible, don't just read word for word. Stop. If it says, Lord, deliver me, you know, stop and say, Lord, deliver me from whatever is happening at that time. You know, if it's something that's really troubling you, word it out that way. Take that Scripture. Even if you only get one or two Scriptures read, take that Scripture and make it yours for today. Like I said, choose the right sources. Choose the right teachers. Number four, receive correction as a blessing. When you ask to be taught, you may be corrected, you may be reproved. Psalm 141:5 says, let the righteous smite me, and it shall be a kindness. Let them reprove me, and it shall be an excellent oil. I'll repeat this story once again. I know I've shared it with many of you have heard it. Working with Weaver Masonry, you work around a lot of rough guys, and you tend to pick up on, you know, some of the language that they did. Well, one day I said, I was carrying brick. You carry this big tong with like 12 brick in it, and it fell, and I said a bad word. Nobody else ever done that here, right? Yeah, okay. Anyway, there was a guy that was subbed out to us, and he said, David, why did you say that? I said, oh, you know, it just happens. You do it. He said, don't you know the Holy Spirit gives you power over that? He reproved me, and it was a kindness. And he really, it was like I was struck, but it was for my good, and I was blessed. And I will never forget that. The day I see him in heaven again, I'm going to say thank you. Thank you for smiting me. Thank you for reproving me. Numbering our days. That term number means to weigh out that day, to allot that day, appoint that day, purpose for that day, prepare, and to set apart that day. So we're saying, Lord, teach us to number. Teach us to give our days purpose. Teach us to set them apart. What is tomorrow going to be for you? What is your plan for tomorrow? Do you have one? Think about it. How are you going to grow tomorrow in the new year that's coming? We recognize the unnumbered days of God. He's the one that we're turning to teach. He is eternal, and he is the source of all wisdom. That's why we turn to him. And we recognize that our lives are fleeting. Psalm 8, when I consider the heaven, the sun, the moon, the stars, what am I that you think about me? Do you know what? We are the object of his love. He is the reason that Christ came for each one of us. We recognize also the fear of the Lord. If we were to read the entire Psalm 90, it gets into God's wrath. Actually, let's go there. Turn to Psalm 90. And I know I tend to get a little fast, so I'm going to try to slow down a little bit. Yeah, I heard this story about a guy that was eating grandfather clocks. I said, are you still doing it? He says, no, I gave it up. It was too time consuming. Oh! I had to do that, yes. And I got one more too, so. Oh, yes. Let's look at verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Here we're acknowledging God as the creator. He is the one that has always been. Down to verse 7. This is kind of troubling. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. This was written by Moses. And I'll tell you what, they saw some trouble in their times when they were wandering in the desert. They did. And when we as believers in Jesus read this, it's kind of hard to grasp that. Turn to Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my downsitting, my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. You encompass my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word on my tongue, O Lord, but you know it altogether. You have been behind me and before me, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Where should I go away from your spirit? If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take up the wings of the morning and dwell in the utter parts of the sea, even there your hand leads me and your right hand holds me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day, and the darkness as the light. They are both the same to you. You have possessed my reins. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth it well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which were in fashion, as of yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. The Bible is a continuing revealing of God's love to us. Back in Moses' days, we didn't have passages quite like this, did we? They were a little more stern, a little rougher, but we have that there. Turn to John chapter 15, and here we have the ultimate revelation in Jesus himself. John chapter 15. While you're turning there, I'll give you the second last one there. I went to a baseball game, and I couldn't understand it, but the baseball got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it hit me. Okay, John chapter 15, verse 12 to 17. John chapter 15, 12 to 17. Here's the further revelation, you know, of us and God. We are his created being, you know. We have sinned, that's correct. Yes, Moses, we have sinned and we fear him. But then he says, you know, God knows us very deeply. Now, we see here Jesus says, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus says, I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends. Wow. We went from dust to friends. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And can anybody quote Mary from the book of John? I think she's recorded saying one thing in chapter 2 of the Gospel of John. Does anybody know what that is? That's it. Whatever he says, do it. Good advice. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Isn't that great? We are loved, and he calls us his friends. And you know, when we return our love to God, our most important business in life is to please him and to love him. To love Him, we love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to please Him, we love our neighbor as ourselves. What are these easy commands? I mean, it's not hard. Jesus says His yoke is easy, and it's to love. Now, you younger folks out there, books. Who here likes reading books? I know there are people out there who enjoy reading books. You know what? Books are really cool because they transcend time. Books contain things that may have been written a long time ago, like our Bible. The thoughts of people are written down and come to you. One of my favorite books, and if you've never read it, The Practice of the Presence of God, I recommend it. In there, Brother Lawrence from the 1600s, says this, and this is written to you guys. And it's amazing. These words I can read that were in his thoughts. Listen to this. If you are young, my brother or sister, profit, I beseech you from my confession, that I cared too little to employ, apply. That's like that word right there. Employ, apply. I cared too little to employ or apply my early years for God. Consecrate all your years to His love. If only I had known Him sooner. If only I had someone to tell you, to tell me what I am telling you. You can hear His voice just coming out saying, oh, I want you to know this. If I would have known this, I would not have delayed so long in loving Him. Believe me, count as lost each day you have not used in loving God. So to you young people, you have your entire life ahead of you. Start now loving God and putting His priorities first in your life. He loves you. He calls you His friends. Get to know Him. Love Him. He is the creator of the world. He set this whole place up for us. So apply our hearts to wisdom. Apply means to employ, to bring it forth, to put it into practice, to bring it to come to pass. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And you know what the word wisdom means? Good sense applied. There you go. Good sense applied. That was a very simple one. I was kind of like, oh, what's wisdom going to mean? Good sense applied. That's awesome. Ezekiel tells us when he was preaching to those in Babylon, God said to him, you know, the people are coming to you, but you're like someone who's pretty good playing the harp and sings a real pretty song. They hear your words, but they don't put them into practice. And a few weeks ago when we studied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that word for heart means your whole being, everything within you, not just the beating of your heart and the love and the emotion, but your heart means everything that makes you walk, everything that makes you move. Love Him with that. Okay, this is going to be the hard one. When my grandmother passed away, I don't want to think about it too much because I might start bawling up here again. My mom asked me to read this. Oh, gee. So I'm going to try to get through this. And you have probably heard it. Our Lives. Okay. It's called The Dash. Anybody ever heard The Dash before? All right. I did not make it very well through that. But I think I can do it today. Here we go. I read of a man who stood up to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from beginning to end. He noticed the first came the date of the birth and spoke of the following date with tears. And he said what mattered most was the dash between the years. For that dash represents all the time they have spent alive on earth. And now only those that loved him know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters most is how we lived and loved and how we spent the dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you would like to change? For you never know how much time is left that still can be rearranged. To be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering the special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is read, with your life's actions rehashed, would you be proud of the things that they say about your dash? I'll never forget that. And I'll never forget how bawling I was doing up there trying to read it. That's a tough one to do at a funeral. Here's something. I read that poem, and then I was thinking on it, meditating on it. And I thought, you know what? That dash. We see that that represents our lives between our birth and our death. But you know what? There's something really cool, and I think this is the artist in me coming out. During my dash, Jesus came from heaven down to my life and changed it. That line through the dash, that line through his dash. Jesus came down from heaven into my life. He intersected my dash and it became a cross. It was a sign of his presence, his footstep, his influence, his lordship. His love entered my life and changed my dash. I hope you never forget that. That dash. He came down to us, made a cross, a sign in our lives. Closing from Isaiah 40. All flesh is grass, and all its beauty like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I was like, oh, I feel like I'm getting a little depressing here. But you know what? I'm not. Because it goes on, the word stands forever. It says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. This is where you can take scripture and meditate on it, think about it, and just grab it. I'm going to read it a little differently. Christ shall feed his flock like a shepherd. That flock is the young and the old. Jesus will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them close to his heart. Read those verses. Say, Lord, carry me close to your heart. Lead me. He gently leads those with young. A bruised reed Jesus will not break, and a smoldering candle he will not snuff out. Jesus is the Alpha, and he is the Omega, the beginning and the end. I love that song. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Our entire breadth of life is in his hands. We've all come on to this journey, and I always think of Henry. I think one of the times we were doing a canoe, and it was neat because people would put in canoeing and they would port for a little while and pull off. And that's the way our lives are. We've each entered into the river of life for a short time, and we have children that come alongside of us. But the time comes where we will pull off and set our canoe aside, and our families will continue on. And we have that promise of Jesus that he will continue to lead and gently carry those of our family that come on. Lord God, time is in your hands. We are in your hands. And those hands are hands of love. You have called us friends. You have called us your loved ones. You've called us children. You promised to gently lead us, to carry us and guide us, but you've also promised to reprove and correct us. Lord, as we close out this year and look forward to a new year, may each one of us learn in some new way to number our days that we may apply it to wisdom. It might be in one way or two ways or three ways, but Lord, I pray that each one here will take that verse and draw closer to you and to your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.